Welcome back to the Lucci Cast presented by Yeti, built for the wild. Visit yeti.com to check out gear that'll help you travel farther, camp longer, and live harder. No matter where the wild takes you, Yeti is ready to tackle your next adventure head on. I'm Billy Lucci, joined as always by the big truth himself, Hunter Goodwin, where we will break down all things Texas A&M 28, Mississippi State 14. Big win in Starkville for your 7th-ranked fighting Texas Aggies. Back with another one, Billy Lucci, Hunter Goodwin, breaking down another Aggie victory. Second straight SEC win. The Aggies improved to 3-1 in Starkville over Mike Leach with a 28-14 win over Mississippi State. Hunter, I've always kind of compared Starkville to Lubbock, which should hit home with you and me and any Aggie. But the last time A&M went to Lubbock, they beat the Pirate. They won in Lubbock. And it was when Tech was going down. And I think this is – they caught Mississippi State when Mississippi State struggling. And they went in there and they didn't screw around like they did 2 years ago when – or 4 years ago when State was struggling. And 2 years ago when State had a good team. And 6 years ago when State had a great team. They went in there and handled their business really from start to finish. It was – I don't know – what you would use to describe it. I kind of thought it was like a workmanlike performance. My biggest positive, Hunter, was as a guy that's played in college, you know this, you play that big game and you win on the last second and you have that breakthrough win and then you have to go on the road to a place where you've struggled, a matchup that you and I talked about. We worried about certain parts of that matchup. Some of them showed up, some of them didn't. And you went in there and handled your business. And to me, that's a sign of a team that maybe is maturing. You know, it's got to be more than a week. But I felt like that looked to me like a maturing football team to go out there on the road and handle that the way they did. It wasn't perfect, but it was like I said, they controlled the game. I know you and I were texting, and our level of concern was going up when Mississippi State would cut the lead to 14 and, you know, early in the fourth quarter. So it wasn't – there were never really any tense moments. There was one, and A&M immediately answered. So I would – give me your initial takeaway of this one. We're going to break this down. We're not even going to mess with Arkansas until next week, and we'll do some big picture SEC stuff. There's a couple big games this weekend, and we'll preview that Arkansas matchup. We'll do kind of a lay of the land thing, Hunter, kind of the midway point. But let's just talk Mississippi State and Saturday's game.
All right, so agree, very tough place to play. I was there in Starkville, I think 2 years ago. Is that right, when we lost?
Yeah, it ruined our weekend, for sure.
Ruined our weekend. But it's a they always have talent. That is – it's just one of those teams you never know what you're going to get, but you know they've got athletes. And they'll always have athletes. Mississippi's just a state with a lot of good players and always has been. You go back, we've talked about this in the past. The NFL was full of guys from Ole Miss and Mississippi State in my era, and it's full of the NFL's got a bunch of guys in it today. Yeah. Agree with you. It was pedestrian. It was a little boring, but great way to respond. And I think the biggest thing that jumped out at me is I've said this 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,001. You gotta win 2 out of 3 facets of the game, and the special teams finally actually made a play. Yeah. They were a difference maker. They tilted heavily in our favor. I thought that the defense, while challenged, we challenged them and criticized them after the Florida game, which was deserved and warranted. They stepped up and played an amazing game. I mean, to have 2 yards rushing on I forget the
minus two
at, but. Yeah, 20 attempts and gave up negative 2 yards. That's an unbelievably fantastic day. And giving up only 217 yards of total offense to a team that likes to throw it around the yard, the defense showed up. And so good defense and good special teams kind of offset a very slow-starting Aggie offense, come out in the first series of the second half and throw a pick six, concerning. Very low percentage completion day. You know, we're 13-23. Was not a very good, not a high percentage day. A little bit off at times. I thought we started really slow in the first series. But at the end of the day, you leveraged your offensive line, had a great day rushing the ball. The balance kind of tilted heavily to rush as the game went on. We were 60, the heaviest percentage of rush first pass yet this year. We were 59% rush, 40% pass, or 60-40 is probably the best way to look at it, to round the numbers. But it's a good win. I mean, SEC wins are hard to come by, period. Road wins are hard to come by even in COVID-impaired status. It's still not the same comfort level as at home. And, you know, this is a new team that opened with a big win at LSU and has struggled some. And, you know, I think they're going through the pains and anguish of changing leadership. And we caught them at a time where they were down and responded well. I thought the group that played bad against or needed to play better played much better in the defense. And so to your point, it gives you a lot of hope about the psyche, the leadership, and the guys that have to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Hansford and Buddy Johnson both had really good games, I thought. I think if I'm right, they were the two leading tacklers on the team, very active all yeah. day. Hansford, I thought, played well against Vandy and kind of disappeared against Bama and a little bit against Florida, but really I thought came back strong in this game. So big day. Agree with your analysis. It wasn't exciting, but, you know, we won. It's an SEC road win. We're sitting now at 3-1, and it's amazing how differently we feel today versus how we felt after getting whipped by Bama pretty handily and playing not so great against Vandy at home in the game first game.
Hunter, and then go back to the offense, because I know you said, you know, you were talking about the passing, and the running game did travel, though, and they needed did. It today. And again, you mentioned offense, defense, special teams. I would even take it further and say maybe they won 3 out of 4 because of what they were able to do running the football. And you said you're going to win a lot of games with defense and special teams, and I think Jimbo would chime in probably and say, oh, yeah, and you're going to win a lot running the football too, because on a day when the passing game wasn't in sync, and I don't know, Hunter, if that was just a come down a little bit after a big week, or if that was, you know, you're trying to regroup after Chapman's emergence and you're on the road, so it was that combination or what it was, but they got bailed out by Isaiah Spiller and an O-line and tight ends and running backs again that they, I think thought A&M did a really good job of blocking. What did you think watching that? Maybe not as good as they did against Florida State, but I would contend, Hunter, that Mississippi State's a better defense than Florida State. And I would contend that you and I talked about it. It was an inflated number that State came in allowing 75 yards a game on the ground. That was smoke and mirrors when you went back and, like, broke it down. But they're solid run defense. And A&M ran for about 200 and gave up -2. You're going to win that game almost every time as long as you don't turn it over, right?
Well, I mean, it is now 4 games in a row where this offensive line has put together a consistent performance. I was surprised by Vandy's performance. Didn't really want to, you know, was not ready to give him the sideline chain or whatever the latest yeah. back in the Sumlin era, it was the pimp stick. But, you know, we saw a similar performance against Bama where we came off the ball and I thought knocked their defensive line around. It was a continuation with Florida. And as you said, you know, when you that group travels, and that is a group right now. I think our front five is playing really well. I give Henson credit. He has responded to the challenge. And I've bragged on them for the first 3 shows. I'm going to brag on them for the 4th show. And if you can continue to rely on them, Billy, to play the way they're playing, it will mask and take pressure off this passing game that at times is still finding itself. There's a bit, you know, as you alluded to, you lost Chapman, who had kind of finally found himself in the Florida game. you're rotating guys in. We saw a chain. We saw a lot of new guys rotating in. And I think there's going to be a continuation of that for the next couple of weeks while we try to figure out who's going to do what, when, where, and how. You saw Anais a lot being motioned out and really playing in at a receiver spot. So you can stay in all these games if you play defense the way we play defense and you can run the ball. And once again, to my knowledge, I think this is the best, in my opinion, we've protected our quarterback in three seasons with one sack given up in four games. And those are not slaps. I mean, that defense
No.
is not a bunch of scabs. It's not a Big 12 defensive line.
I think Oak State got to him a couple times, and I think Texas State got to him a couple times. I remember Jimbo's first year when they had a really good offense. I think Northwestern State got to him, you know, three times. So, yeah, apples to apples, it's good. But you can even go apples to oranges, and the oranges used to be bad too. So,
well, Billy, here's what's interesting: when you look at 2019 in the first four games, Mon had been sacked five times, and when you look at 2018 in the first four games, Mon had been sacked 13 times. So 13-5-1.
Yeah.
Tell me if that's not a healthy trajectory and a major change.
And speaking of a healthy trajectory, Isaiah Spiller is trending to become A&M's second first team all SEC back in 3 years under Jimbo, maybe even the second leading SEC rusher. Who knows how things go, but you're good about this. And I shouldn't have sprung it on you. This will be a test of your, where you're at.
My response.
Mentally, after
by the way, Dalton, when he said Florida State, you noticed that I took the high road and didn't correct him.
Oh, okay. Did I say that?
That was a game.
I appreciate that because I deal with the Grand Correctors deluxe between.
Oh, I got a household of them.
Yeah, you do.
There was no reason for me to jump in and moderate, so we will continue the debate.
Yeah, see, Dalton, between Dalton, Gabe, and Ballooninger, I don't know who, because he's so full of hot air. That's his new one, Ballooninger.
I like that, Ballooninger. Yeah.
And by the way, the neighbor now, his new name, because he hooked up a fire alarm without in my house without telling me. And it went off last night at 5 a.m. And I threw my back out helping him move a couch. So his new name instead of Restivo is Leave It to Stever. So he's ruining my life over here. We'll be right back to the podcast in a moment. But first, here's a message from our good friends at HEB.
Gear up for game day from the comfort of your home with HEB curbside and delivery. Save time, shop online, get all the deals. Use the new MyHEB mobile app, your game day MVP.
Well, let's get back to this. I'm going to put you on the spot. I should have told you ahead of time.
I'm ready.
Who does Isaiah Spiller remind Hunter Goodwin of, college or pro, you know, somebody you came across or played against or played with along the way? Is there a back that he reminds you of? Because I feel like he's a pretty unique package.
You know, Lucci, this is probably a weird one, but I'm thinking of a teammate that he really reminds me of, and it's two guys. I'd say Mo Williams. Kentucky grad when he was at the Vikings. And I would say – at the Dolphins, probably Lamar. What was I'm
Lamar struggling. Smith? Lamar Smith, the old U of H back.
Who was at Seattle.
That's a pretty good one.
Let me rationalize those. It's funny because or support those with some thought. The thing that I like about Spiller is he's extremely patient and he understands when to hit the hole. People have heard me talk about timing and spacing. And I was coaching up some folks this morning in my conference room that the great Alex Gibbs would always watch our backs. I was with him 1 year with the Falcons and he would watch our backs and he would.
Like literally watch your back.
Well, he would watch him on film. Yeah. And what he would do is every back has a natural cadence or speed at which they would get to the hole. And what's relatively predictable is how a blocking scheme unravels up front, meaning your center guards and tackles and tight end are if it's the same group, they're how they approach it, the timing of execution is pretty predictable. There's some small nuances, but overall it's pretty predictable. What's not predictable is every back has a different speed at which they get to the line of scrimmage. And if the timing's off, the spacing's off, if you get there too early, the hole has not opened up and therefore you're running into a tight space. If you get there too late, the hole has collapsed and you're running into a tight space. So what he would do, and the best example of this that I could think of this morning was the long jump, is everyone that's ever long jump, you base where you jump with a marker of some kind, and it's all based upon your flow, your cadence, and how you run. And he, Alex Gibbs, as the line coach, would literally, on every single run play, he would align the back at a very specific point such that the back could run at their normal pace and almost always get to the hole at the right time, if that makes sense. What I love about Spiller is he just has great feel, great cadence, and great patience. And he's got a really nice burst. But if you watch him, his initial from the word go, as he runs towards the line of scrimmage and as he's getting the ball, he's got a nice pace to him that's not overrushed. It's not too compressed. And he always seems to get at the hole at the right time. And then as he gets through the hole, he will really hit a second button, if you will, where he can accelerate and he gets out into the open field. So he just has a really good feel. And what makes this so encouraging, and I'm hesitant to say it, but if we can keep the front five the same and remain healthy, that level of comfort, it becomes like your favorite pair of shoes. Like you put them on, you can't wait to wear them because they make your feet feel great. That's the comfort level that I'm seeing with this group of the same five guys playing week in and week out. They're really starting to gel together. And I think the reciprocity, if you will, between the offensive line and how the running back hits the hole with this offensive line is becoming very, very much in unison with each other, which is why you're seeing some very big explosive plays.
How any guys stand out besides Isaiah Spiller and the O-line for you on Saturday on either side of the ball? You're watching and rewatching that game. Did anybody jump out at you with their performance, whether it's a repeat from Florida or somebody new, somebody emerging that you want to see more of, wherever you want to go with this, Hunter? What are some guys that caught your attention Saturday?
Well, let's talk. I still think, you know, Anais is, you know, he just does so many things that aggravate, scare. He is the responsible party. A lot is as to why Spiller has success and our receivers get open, because when you motion him, everyone is aware of where he is on the field, and yeah, he commands the eyes of the secondary. I know he's had some, you know, some drops in critical situations, but to me, he is a high impact player, and I love his energy. I love his contribution. He can hurt you on the outside. He can hurt you on the inside. You know, he's an interesting dynamic player, because you don't see little guys like him run it up in the middle between the tackles.
Tough, yeah.
And he gives great second effort, and you catch him slip. He can catch you slipping. He'll run you smooth over. Mm-hmm. And he's unbelievably good and surprisingly good for his size, for any size, in his pass protection. I mean, when you watch him on some of the when he's one-on-one with a rushing backer or someone's trying to bring pressure, dude, he will knock their socks off. I mean, he takes their will out the way he hits them. So I still like Anais's contribution, and I can't brag on him enough. I thought that defensively, Hansford is someone who I thought had a really a big time game. PV played well. I thought he's been all year long. Clemens, I thought, had a pretty good game. But there's one defender I thought that stood out.
Can I guess?
Yes.
It's tough because there's two of them that I could see you picking. I'm going to say Leal because I thought he was just a game record. But there's somebody else that I'm really wanting to go with here that might have lined up right next to him.
I'll go with Leal. Okay. I think
McKinley was going to be my other pick.
He's not putting up huge stats, but you got to really watch the film to see his contribution. He's kind of like Anais. He's not the leading rusher, but when you look at all the little things that he does that maybe aren't exactly touched, him carrying, they're not stat driven because they don't measure. They do, but people don't pay attention to them. Leal is just, he's smart. He's a smart football player. He's athletic. He can play inside. He can play outside. And when you're rushing, we got a lot of pressure, Billy, rushing three. That's really unusual, but also encouraging. And I think that's going to be the challenge for Mike Leach and the SEC is he's accustomed to a league where you can rush three guys and just defend all day long because your front five can hold those, three defenders off forever. And eventually somebody gets open. You don't get that luxury at Auburn, Alabama, Florida, Georgia. I mean, they're going to rush three and they're going to get to the quarterback. And I thought our A&M front three did a really good job in three down rushes of putting pressure and collapsing the pocket and forcing early throws.
Yeah, I did too. I the guys that flashed to me, Hunter, that were exciting out there too were 27, 35, and 13. Some young guys we saw more of. Brian Williams with a sack and a tackle right before that. And I thought Antonio Johnson looked really like potentially impactful as we move forward. I could see him being an impact player even as early as this year at a later date. And then McKinley Jackson, I think he's already impactful. I mean, he is between him and Peavy. And then Brown didn't suit up. Between those three, that's a pretty destructive inside trio for Elijah Robinson.
I said after week one against Vanderbilt, McKinley Jackson needs to play more snaps. And
yeah,
he's playing more snaps. And if I was playing his position, I'd be worried about how many snaps I'd be playing in the future. Because I agree with you. Very disruptive. Got a great motor, great first step, quick as heck off the ball. Guys like him can be a real challenge, Billy. When if you really watch Alabama, they don't do a whole lot, but they love inside twists and inside stunts on obvious throwing downs. And McKinley Jackson can really cause problems inside because he can get so much either A, if he's the post guy in a twist, he can get so much penetration that he can force the line of scrimmage to drop further than they want, which creates a lot of space for the looper. Or conversely, if he's the looper and he's second in the stunt, he's got so much speed coming around that he's a problem, man. He's a guy that's quick enough. I'm not saying he's John Randall, so don't misconstrue.
He's like 335 or three. He's probably 320.
But he's got that quickness like a John Randall. Where it's off the really, ball. Or the kid at the Rams, Donald. I mean, Aaron Donald. He's just got so much quickness that it's a nightmare matchup for a lot of offensive linemen. And I think as he continues to develop and get more snaps and really learn how to play, he's going to be lights out. His quickness is a nightmare matchup for a lot of offensive linemen.
And Hunter, in closing, what went
to nullify the play at Arkansas. I know we want to go there, but I question, me personally, I still have a lot of questions about that Arkansas offensive line, and I think that our D-line can win that matchup and cause problems for their quarterback. Sorry for going Arkansas, but I had to say that.
We'll be right back to the podcast in a moment, but first, here's a message from our good friends at HEB.
At HEB.com, your personal HEB shopper will score all the delicious game day goodies you need. From chips and dip to prime one sliders, without sidelining your schedule. HEB, no store does more to save you time.
Well, along those lines, and we'll talk Arkansas next week, And we'll talk and we'll get some big picture SEC and kind of where this thing stands, because it's, you know, it's getting interesting. I mean, you got a resurgent Arkansas team this week under Pittman. You've got 2 weeks. You got South Carolina, who will be coming off a bye. And Hunter, they might be coming off wins over Auburn and LSU back to back.
You just stole my thunder, because this weekend they match up with LSU, and Amber and I actually met today for lunch and had that exact discussion. I could definitely see. It would not surprise me at all if South Carolina beats LSU. Wouldn't surprise me one iota.
And if you factor all that in, those are two really tough games coming up against teams that you're trying to extend just really ridiculous winning streaks against, where you go, well, when's the other shoe going to drop? Well, it doesn't have to drop, because I still would say A&M on their A game is the better team. So if A&M plays well these next 2 weeks, that's when, Hunter, I will enter in and start saying, okay, they have a chance for something special, because I think their best football, Hunter, is the last four games or so, the second half of the season, because of all these guys we're talking about and because the offense still seems to be finding itself. But if they're good enough to be sitting at 5-1 at that point, man, because these are challenging hurdles coming up. So my question to you to close it out is this. When they take the field in those next two games, we know they have to play well, so factor that out. They got to be on their game. They can't start slow, all that. But what do you want to see? What area – give me two areas. It can be same side of the ball, whichever. Two elements that you want to see this team use these next 2 weeks, this bye, to improve on most, that will make you go, okay, dude, I'm about ready to buy in all the way.
So I think area one for me is when I go back and I look at really – these first four games of this year, plus even bringing in past years, I don't know what it is, but I always feel like when you put the ball in Mon's hands or on his arm early, I don't know if he is anxious. I don't know if he is overzealous. I don't know if he's amped up. But
it feels like that.
He seems to settle in better after the first series. So I want to see us run the damn ball. I don't care if they've got 11, 15 guys in the box. It doesn't matter to me. Run the ball, let him settle down, and let the big men up front eat, because I think it's really good for them. As an offensive lineman and a guy that likes physicality and likes to hit, the last thing I want to do is be asked to pass block on my first couple snaps. Like, let me knock the slobber off. Let me get my, you know, my eyes right. Let me get some that banging feeling that makes you feel so good. Let me get all that off. And I think if we can start fast, Kellen is so streaky. And if you can let him settle down, have some runs early, and let him get into the game momentum, I think he is going to be a much more productive quarterback, and you will get your best version of Kellen, which is really good when it's good. So that's point one. Point two is we seem to still be there. I used the, I think, phrase last week. We were right within a fingernail of getting sacks at Florida. We got a little more pressure on the quarterback, a lot more pressure on the quarterback against Mississippi State. We're this close. I mean, we're so close with our defensive line putting pressure on the quarterback. And to me, really good defensive lines, it's so much about – it's almost this air of confidence. And you gotta have that success to believe in it, but Leal is just that close, and Clemens is just that close to where one of those guys is going to have a big, big breakout game. And our D-line, I think, is if those two areas, starting fast on offense, relying on your front five and your backs who are playing extremely well, and getting to the quarterback with pass rush, if those two areas shore up, we continue to play good special teams, and as you touched on, we're seeing a lot of new faces being worked into both sides of the ball, a chain finally on offense. All the guys you just named who are first-time numbers I'd ever seen on defense, getting a lot of snaps. You've got a bye weekend where you can work on the cerebral side of the game. I think, to your point, the best football for this A&M team is definitely in the future. And we've progressed. Look how far we've come since Vandy. I mean, we We started rough. We had a very, very tough week against Bama. We had a big swing upward in against Florida offensively. We played our best game of the year in 20. Not so great defensively, and then we played our best game of the year defensively and on special teams against Mississippi State. So as those three units are coming together, as our youth is getting more reps and getting healthy and getting on the field, our best is ahead of us, not behind us.
Yeah, and the more they move in that direction, you keep collecting those wins, Hunter, and this is a big picture thing that I just wanted to mention is, look, that was a really important win on this level too. Now you're off. Every weekend in college football, especially this year, there's carnage. And if LSU loses, Edo is on – he's not on the hot seat, like going to get fired, but things are going to be real uncomfortable, and everyone in Baton Rouge is going to be real unhappy, and they're going to be really nervous with this NCAA thing. Because I'm going to tell you right now, those sanctions, 8 scholarships over 2 years, I laugh if someone in Baton Rouge tries to tell me that that's all they're getting. It's going to be much harsher than that. You don't get caught paying someone $180,000 through a hospital charity and cut 8 scholarships out of your 85. It's going to be infinitely worse. It's tied in with basketball. Will Wade won't work there much longer. So if LSU were to fall to 1-3, where Texas is at right now with what's going on with the Eyes of Texas controversy and with where that team's at, Tom Herman is hanging on by a thread. And then Oklahoma, while I think they're going to be good, they're not relevant in the championship picture already. They're 3 weeks, 4 weeks into the season, they were out of it. This is an amazing opportunity for A&M. Same thing with Auburn. Hunter, Gus Malzahn and Tom Herman both might be out this year. Everybody talks about the money. You know this. You're the financial guy. You're always chasing this stuff down. At some point, it doesn't matter, and they're going to find a way to make it happen. A&M following up Florida and going into a bye and having what will amount to about 3 weeks of positivity while other people just spiral down the drain that you recruit against every day. Jimbo's real close. A couple more wins for this team in a row, and I think you can get a stranglehold not only on the recruiting in this state the rest of this year, but 22 as well, and you can really dominate the landscape. And this is as close as it's been in a while, Hunter, and I've been doing this a long time. So just to make these next couple games even more important, but also to say that Mississippi State game was – I think more important than a lot of people think, because Hunter, if you go out there and lose, you just give it all right back, and they didn't do that. And so that for that, I was pretty damn fired up. I was especially fired up that we didn't have to sweat it out even too. If you'd have told me, hey, you're going to go win, it's not going to be perfect, but you're not even going to sweat it. The best thing I saw on Saturday was that pick six followed by Kellen and that offense going 4 plays, 75 yards or whatever it was, and hitting that touchdown to Chase. Very next drive, 2 plays later, fumble, run back, 2 plays later, touchdown. In 5 play or like 9 plays, they turned a 14-7 game into 28-7. That's an improving football team.
Well, Billy, and to me as just a simple fan, I agree with everything you said. It's just unbelievably comforting to me when you can rely on your front 5, throw the tight end front 6, and you can hand it off. And as boring as that sounds, how good does it feel to sit in your living room and sip on your tea or your John Daly, which has a little vodka in your tea, and watch us get 3 to 5 yards a carry and go from 1st and 10 to 2nd and 7 and 2nd and 7 to 3rd and 4 and get these easily convertible 3rd downs. When you can run the ball, it just gives everyone a confidence. And when you can do it in big moments and you can chew up 4 minutes a clock, we've got a great balance right now of run to pass. Jimbo's done a good job of really keeping us very, very, very balanced. And if we can keep the production on, this is going to be a very, difficult team to play and beat, period.
Well, no one – we can sit back and watch other teams get beaten this weekend, so we'll get some good SEC.
Pressure's off, baby.
The Big Ten's coming back. The Big Ten will be back this weekend, and we can watch some Big 12, ACC, SEC, Big Ten, and sit back. Yeah, it's a pressureless weekend, and then it steps it back up again with the Hogs and South Carolina. And Griffin's barking. He's ready for his walk. What do you got tonight? Soccer?
Tonight I've got stuff at the house.
What do you got? A debate tailgate party or something?
No, my daughter's got some stuff I'm helping her with.
All right, Hunter.
She's already blowing me up on text. Where are you?
Get home. Get home. We'll do it again next week. We'll preview Arkansas and we'll take a midseason look at the SEC. Thanks.
We'll do a deep dive. Arkansas, baby. All right, see you.